side as Father's Day, where many are here, and it is a special day. I love every day, but I love some key days that we can focus and see what the Lord wants us to know about these days. Everything is not paganism. Now, Halloween is paganism, but Easter and Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day are very special. We're not to worship our father or our mother, but we are to honor and respect them. And as these ladies were singing here this morning, I seen their children gathered over there playing. Many times you parents wonder, is your children getting anything? I can tell you, just in the environment of this, it goes a long, long way. If you have a Bible with you today, I'd ask that you would bear with me. I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to be lengthy. And some of you probably wonder with the text I'm giving, how will I ever preach all that in just a little bit? Well, I'm not going to preach all that. I'm just going to preach some highlights of it. But I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter number 48, of Genesis 48. And let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. Then I'm going to give a little background of where we are. And then I'll get right into the message this morning and do that, what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Genesis chapter number 48. Genesis 48. We'll start reading in verse number 1. It is a story about Jacob. You remember with the patriarchs of our faith, there was Abraham and Sarah. Then Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac married Rebekah. And then they had Jacob, the one that I want to preach on this morning. And Jacob married Rachel and Leah. But now, Jacob is fixing to die. I don't mean this to be a funeral message today, but I do want you to look at a father that walked in this world that left great illustrations in the Word of God. Genesis 48, verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed." Now Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, bless me." And he said unto me, I'm glad we got a talking God this morning. "Behold, I will make thee fruitful." I sure am glad when God's behind you, things will work out. "I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Now, the verse that I want to key on, turn to the right in your Bible, in Genesis 49, and verse number 33. The Lord had showed me this verse several weeks ago, and it seems that now the Lord has just allowed me to study it and preach from it this morning. In Genesis 49, verse 33, and then we'll be seated. "When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for our time together this morning in the house of the Lord. Thank you for a Bible that we can still read that is still real and relevant in the day and hour that we live. Thank you. You are the great shepherd of the sheep this morning. Thank you for the lives of the patriarchs that we can study, that we may apply those great principles in our lives. Help us here this morning as a church family. Help us as individuals, O God. I'm a needy preacher this morning. And Holy Ghost, I ask you that in these last days you would teach me to uplift and glorify the Son of God in preaching. Help me, because I need you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to preach out of verse 33 of Genesis 49 today on a father's farewell. A father's farewell. Brother Patrick, a few nights ago, he preached on Joseph in the prison. Jacob had 12 children. They are known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph had two sons that I read first, that he brought them to Jacob on his dying bed. Jacob blessed them and brought them in as his sons. And therefore, Joseph got a double portion of blessing. But focusing upon Jacob, Joseph's father, we see here upon his deathbed, he had some things that really stood up in my heart. I want to say, first of all, in this father's farewell, he spoke of his belief. You remember when I read first out of the book of Genesis that he said, "And God appeared unto me at Luz and blessed me." Let's look at this appearance with Jacob, this great patriarch of our faith, and let's notice his belief. In Genesis 28, and if you write in your Bibles, if you'd turn me up just a little bit this morning, brother, I'd appreciate it. But in Genesis 28, I want to show you a few things in the Word of God about Jacob and his belief. Great illustration here of getting saved. I want to ask you this morning, are you saved and do you know that you're saved? We find here that Jacob, in verse number 11 of Genesis 28, that Jacob simply tarried. He had went against his brother Esau and tricked him. Jacob was a great man of trickery. You would wonder why God would have anything to do with him. But then again, I wonder why God would have anything to do with me and you. Aren't you glad that God loves the unlovable? He'd went in and stole his brother's birthright. He had lied to his father. And simply he had told Isaac that he was Esau. And he stole the birthright and the blessing. And so now we find that Jacob is on the run. Esau said, "His brother, I'm going to kill you, Jacob." And so that of Rebekah loved Jacob. She sent him out and said, "Esau's going to kill you. Run. I want you to go to my brother's house to Laban." So Jacob takes out on a journey, and we find him in verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And now we find him tarrying. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Honey, you talking about a long night. Why you say it's a long night, preacher? He said, "Cause the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for the pillars." You know what he done? He hit bottom. He hit the rocks. And I'm glad one day that I hit the bottom and I hit the rocks. And boy, when I was tarrying, I'm glad not only was I tarrying, but I sure am glad that I was trailed. Because the Bible said in verse number 12, "And he laid down and he dreamed." God is going to deal with him. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached, watch this, to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And in thee and in thy seed
shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Then he said in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, I want you to see, Jacob was tarrying, and Jacob was trailed. But here we see in verse 16, Jacob was turned. The Bible said, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, notice this ladder reached from earth unto heaven. I'm glad there's still a way to God today, and that is by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God appeared unto Jacob and said, Jacob, I want to get to know you. Aren't you glad we've got a God that will introduce Himself to you by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God? Aren't you glad God's not let us alone, but God came by one day and knocked on our heart? He may have knocked on your heart by a little child. He may have knocked on your heart by a song. But I tell you, the way that He got you is by the Word of God. That's why preaching is so important this morning. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we find Jacob simply tarrying. We find Jacob being trailed. But now we find Jacob being turned. He turned and realized that God had spoke to him, and he, not only did God want to know about him, but Jacob wanted to know about God. Can I tell you today, God loves you, but you're never going to do nothing about it till you want to know something about loving God. God died for everybody in the building. He sent His Son to pay the sin debt on the cross, but you'll never get saved till you respond to what God has done by faith. And so Jacob responded by faith. He simply said in verse number 16, he said, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now we see in verse 17, Jacob testifying. I've noticed when people meet the Lord, they've got a testimony. The Bible said he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So we see here now in verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So here, Jacob in his belief, we find him tarrying. Then we find him being trailed or being tracked. God was on his trail. I'm glad God got on my trail one day. And then we see that he was turned. He realized it was God dealing with him, and he responded. Then in verse 17, we see Jacob testifying. He said, the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. But now we see Jacob transformed. The Bible said that he named this place the house of God. He said it's the gate of heaven. He took a stone up and made pillars, and he poured oil on the top of it, and he called the place of it Bethel. But watch, the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, Jacob met God at Luz, and he renamed it Bethel, which simply means the house of God. I've noticed people that have responded to God and got saved. And you listen, they're always connected in this Bible with the house of God. If you tell me you're saved and you never go to church, I can tell you there's more Bible to show you that you're number one lost or you're not right with God. Anybody that ever born again by the grace of God needs to be connected at the house of God, because it will transform you and change you in this day and this hour. Jacob was transformed. And then you'll notice in verse 20, now we find Jacob talking. You see, Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me this way that I go, I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." In this statement, he's really saying, you know what, now that I know you, I'm glad I can talk to you. I'm going to say, you can't talk to him till you know him. I'm glad I've got a relationship. I'm glad that I've been born again in the family of God. And this is Father's Day, and I'm glad he's my heavenly Father this morning. I'm glad his Son brought me in the family that I may be able to call upon the Father this morning. So we see simply Jacob at this ladder. Not only is he transformed, not only is he talking, but in verse 22 now we find him tithing. The Bible said, "And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." This is the second time that tithing is mentioned in the Bible. Abraham, the great patriarch, who is Jacob's granddaddy, paid a tithe of all. And so here this Bible principle comes, and I hear people saying, "Well, tithing's Old Testament." Let me tell you something. Tithing came before the law came. Matter of fact, Moses hadn't appeared yet, but our patriarchs, young families, if you can ever get this and nail it down in your heart, if you'll give God what is His, He will make the ends meet that will make you shake your head. You say, "Preacher, I can't afford to tithe." Honey, you can't afford not to tithe. Give God what's God's, and God will give you the increase. You see, in the New Testament, tithe is not mentioned. But simply in this principle with the patriarchs of our faith, tithing is simply a starting point. Matter of fact, in New Testament, it exhorts us to give above our ten or our tithe. Matter of fact, some of us are so blessed, we really don't feel a tithe. God wants us to give open-heartedly and sacrificially. God honors sacrifices. Now, if you know exactly what you give to God every year by the number of a tithe, you're way behind on blessing, honey. But if you'll trust God and give unto the Lord out of an open heart and move by faith, it's a great principle in a Christian life that God will bless those that put Him first. You young people that are working this summer, you ought to give unto the Lord every Sunday morning. Amen? There's a verse that stood with me, then I'll get off of it. And I'll read it to you in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2. And I want to share it. Well, you know, when a preacher preaches on money, because there's so many scams and so many TV evangelists, well, there he is preaching about money. No, it's just simply a Bible policy, a Bible principle in order that you may put God first in your life and at your home. You know, I believe in tithing much as I do praying at home. I don't want to miss nothing God's got for my family and my life. Now look, in 2 Corinthians 8, 2, hold your spot. I'm just going to run this rabbit 1 second. The Bible said, Paul, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, watch this in chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Watch this, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I love to give. I love to give unto the Lord. And what a blessing it is with Jacob and his belief. Now, we find Jacob and his belief. But now let's secondly, hurriedly go. And I want you to notice Jacob and his boys. Y'all remember when It's a very fascinating study in about four chapters of Genesis, but when Jacob went to make a deal with Laban, and simply he had met a pretty girl at the well watering the sheep, and her name was Rachel. And boy, God struck his heart. Jacob has got saved now, and he's going through the wilderness, and he sees a very fair woman come to water her father's sheep. And so appears this Bible character, Laban, who he was going after. God had brought her to him, and he made a deal with Laban, his uncle. And he said, what have I got to do to simply get this woman that I love, who is Rachel? He said, work for me 7 years. So Jacob works for Laban 7 years. And the Bible said at night, he brought to Jacob Leah. He didn't realize that when they awoke the next morning, he looked, and it was Leah instead of Rachel. So he goes to Laban, her daddy, and says, look, you messed me up. You did a crooked deal. And he said, well, I tell you what you do. If you work 7 more years for me, then I will give you Rachel. So Jacob worked 7 more years. It took him 14 years to get Rachel. So between Leah and Rachel, they have 6 children each, 12 children. And now as Jacob is dying, let's notice not only Jacob and his belief, but Jacob and his boys. Look in Genesis 49 and verse number 3. Genesis 49 and verse number 3. And I'm going to give some of you Bible students something to study because I don't have time to go through this. But I just want to whet your appetite. And I want to say this. In Genesis 49 and verse number 3, we see simply Jacob is in the bed. He's dying. And the Bible says that he's lying in the bed. And I want you to notice, you that have studied the Bible, he's back in Egypt. He's in Pharaoh's house because Joseph has just made governor over all of Egypt. And there's his daddy Jacob dying, no doubt, in a great place and a really nice home and a bed. And so he's lying down, but the Bible says he turns and he puts his feet down on the floor. And he starts talking to these boys. In other words, one of the old writers said that, now here's the judgment seat of Jacob. Can I remind everybody in this building, we that are saved, we're going to face the judgment seat. You see, we're going to give an account of what we've done since we've been saved. And simply the Bible teaches us that in 1 Corinthians 3. But here, Jacob addresses all 12 of these boys. Look what he says now in chapter 49:1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, with his feet on the floor. He says, and I'm going to tell you what will befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now he addresses his firstborn, Reuben, verse number 3. I want to say, there's a place for each one of us at stake in the kingdom. And the way these boys lived, the way these boys practiced, came in this prophecy of what they were going to do and be in the kingdom. Can I tell you, God, I heard a preacher preach this week, we shout aloud about where God brought us out, but we ought to be shouting about why God brought us in. God brought us in the family to do something. And so here, as Jacob is judging his boys, he said in verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Now, the birthright's supposed to go to the first male child. There's no doubt, when Jacob addressed all these boys, Reuben stuck his chest out and he said, man, daddy's going to leave me a whole lot. I tell you what this is a wheel reading going on. But look how he disappoints Reuben.
He says, Reuben, in verse 4, you're unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Then he speaks to the fourth child here in verse 8, Judah. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. He's telling Judah, by the way, Judah, everything's going to flow out of your tribe. Christ is going to come from you. For Jesus in Revelation 5 is known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here we see these 12 tribes are being exposed and expressed. He said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion swept from the prey of my son. Thou art gone up, he stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And to him shall be gathering the people be, binding his foal in the vine, and his asses cold in the choice vine. He washed his garments and wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. So he pronounced a great blessing that all the blessing would flow out of the house of Judah. Verse 13, he addressed Zebulun. 14, he addressed Issachar. 16, he addressed the tribe of Dan. Verse 19, he brings up the boy named Gad. Then verse 20, he brings up Asher. 21, he brings up Naphtali. But he closes in 22 with Joseph, who was his favorite child. Do you remember the brothers had sold Joseph, cast him in a pit? They took Joseph's coat of many colors and presented it back to Jacob. And Jacob presumed Joseph dead. As Brother Patrick preached the other night, that life of Joseph went through many trials and circumstances, but God promoted him in top of the kingdom. Now, a famine has come in this land, and Joseph, they've came back to where Joseph was governor, and his daddy and boys move in with Joseph in the kingdom of Pharaoh. But now, Jacob is dying, and he brags on Joseph. He said, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 25, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. Then he, verse 27, he addresses Benjamin. And then verse 28, he says this, and all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessings he blessed them. Now, I've covered Jacob and his belief where he got saved. Jacob and his boys. Could you imagine the family life that Jacob enjoyed with his children? But yet, at this judgment seat, at this reading of the will, Daddy didn't pull any punches. And let me tell y'all something. When we stand before God, our works are going to be tried. The Bible speaks of this, and I want to read it. I'm about done preaching. I've got two more thoughts. I'll be done. You don't have to turn, but I'm going to turn this morning. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look at this judgment seat of God real quick. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or he could build with wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, there at the judgment seat of Jacob, we find there's a parallel in our life where we'll be before the judgment seat of God. You see, here lives were brought forth. They were reviewed. They were rebuked. And thirdly, they were rewarded. May we do that which is right out of our heart for the Lord Jesus and have the right motive. When I preach a sermon, am I trying to build me a kingdom or am I simply in His kingdom? When you up singing, are you trying to make a show for yourself or are you simply just singing unto the Lord? When you give, do you give to be seen and noted or are you simply giving it out of the treasures of your heart because you love the Lord? He said, at this day, our works will be tried as by fire. And we'll hide nothing at that day, we that are saved. The lost are not standing here. They're at the white throne judgment in Revelation 20 and 19. But we that are saved will receive rewards. But let me tell you, we're not taking them into heaven with us. We're going to cast them at His feet one day before we go in. I want something to give to the Lord when I get there. Amen. So, I know I've been lengthy. I've covered about 15 messages in 20 minutes. But now, bear with me and I want to give you the thrust of the sermon. The Father's farewell. Now, we've seen the Father's belief. Daddy, do you believe in God? That's the most important point of the whole sermon. Do you believe in God? Have you been saved by grace through faith? When God has spoke to you out of your heart, have you responded back to God by faith? And now, are you plugged into His church? Are you involved in His worship? You better look at this Bible to see if you're saved or not. Number two, Jacob and his belief, but Jacob and his boys. But thirdly, I want you to see something in this Bible. Jacob and his burial. Now, I stopped reading for a reason because I want to pick up in Genesis 49. He said, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, watch this, verse 29. He's fixing to tell them boys, his feet still on the floor. He's fixing to tell them what to do with him. And he charged them and said to them, I'm to be gathered unto my people. Bury me! Don't burn me! Bury me! Uh-oh, that got weak. Girls, if y'all burn me up. On resurrection morning, after I see Jesus, I'm going to find y'all and I'm going to chew you out. It's Christian to bury. That's your decision. For me and my house, we're going to bury. Somebody say amen. Now, he had something to say about his burial. Now, watch your Bible. He said something. Brother Jamie, Brother Pat, he said something that got my attention in Genesis 49 and 29. He said, he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite. That's over in Canaan land. He's in Egypt. He said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in Canaan land. Honey, let me tell you, he was in Pharaoh's house, but he didn't like Pharaoh's world. He knew something over in the promised land. He said, matter of fact, look what he says in the cave that Abraham bought, and here it is, verse 31. There they buried Abraham, Sarah's wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. Rachel was buried this side of Bethlehem on the roadside. But he said, I tell you why I want to be buried with my people. Because on resurrection morning when I get up, I want to see them first. I want to go up with them. Can I tell y'all, when me and my wife kick out together, put us up here on this hillside in this little graveyard, I want to be buried around Christian people. I want to be with my family, them that God died for, them that we've served God together. And Brother Michael, we planned up there on that hill. Praise God, on getting up morning, we're going to see each other as we go up in the sky. Thank God there is a promise and a better day coming tomorrow. Thank God that grave ain't going to hold me. He said, bury me with my people.
You say, well, preacher, what if I fall off that cruise ship and die? Well, you're going to get up out of the ocean if you're saved. His burial. But last, watch this. I'm done preaching. Give me a chance of 3 minutes. I promise I'm done. Miss Emily, why don't you come this morning? I want to have a special invitation today. The father's farewell, Jacob's belief, Jacob's boys, Jacob's burial, but lastly, Jacob's bye. Look what he does. This verse is loaded. Genesis 49:33, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now, watch this. Look at the grace of his dying. He didn't die complaining or fretting. But this grace simply reflected his faith. The grace of his dying. Look at the ghost of his dying, the Bible said, and he yielded up the ghost. This is what this means. He breathed out his last breath. You know, God breathed in the breath into Adam first, but when sin came in, now we'll breathe it out for the last time because of sin. We all are going to die. And you know what Jacob done? Daddies, listen to your preacher this morning. Jacob prepared his family of his dying. We're all going to die. And we better be making some plans for our families. Because we're going to die. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to heaven. Well, you better get saved because you ain't staying here. It's heaven or it's hell. It ain't no in between. Lastly, Jacob and his bye. We see simply that the grace of his dying, the ghost of his dying, but look at the gathering in his dying. He was gathered unto his people. That tells me volumes right there. First of all, there is life after death. Then secondly, we will know our loved ones after death. I'm going to know you. You're going to know me. We're going to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And don't nobody get confused. Ain't nobody going to miss who Christ is. Jacob and his bye. There's life after death. We'll know our loved ones after death. Death is not annihilation. After death, there is no reincarnation. Just we're going to meet God. We're saved. We'll be gathered with our people. Now look what, and this, I mean, this is what really got my thought. This is what really whetted my appetite on this sermon this morning. I looked at this man's feet. He was laying in the bed in Pharaoh's kingdom under Joseph. He said, boys, I got to set up and tell you something. And then the Bible said he gathered up his feet. He's an old man now. And he lays back. And he dies. But he don't die, he lives. He is gathered to his people. Thank God we'll see each other again. You know something, Abraham? He's seen his granddaddy. He's seen Sarah's grandmother.
He seen Isaac, his daddy, and his mama, Rebecca. We'll see our loved ones again when we that are saved and die. It's not goodbye. So we'll see you in a little bit. This morning you're here today. This is what I want you to do. Miss Emily's going to play. I want everybody to stand around the house. I know I've been a little lengthy, but I'm going to tell you, I've done an amazing thing for 35 minutes to preach an 8-hour sermon. Especially for me. Listen, prepare for your dying. Men, you don't know if we'll be here tomorrow or not. Parker already thinks I'm getting so old. He asks me every week, Brother Mike, but then how old are you, Pop? Aren't you 57? He said, oh, you're going to die soon. I told him other morning, Brother Randall, I said, Parker, next year we're going to do this. He said, oh, Pop, you won't be here. You'll be in the grave. But I will say this morning. I may be, but it ain't the end of me. I'm headed yonder to the other side. I'm going to be gathered with my people that know Jesus. Will you be this morning? And I'm going to tell you, I don't mean it to be no sad situation, because it's not. I'm just telling you where it's at. That is where we're all going to meet God. And we better be saved when we meet Him in order to be gathered with our people. Miss Emma's going to play. I want you to just turn around a minute and be good to your daddy this morning. Turn around and tell Him you love Him. Maybe somebody wants to come to the altar and pray. But would you just mind the Lord this morning? Would you come? As Miss Emily played, would you just mind Him? Some of you young ones, reach out.